How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
One of those, the great John Schmelk, who for years covered the Knicks for this station here at WFAN. John, welcome back to the program.
Yeah, and I think me ending the podcast is kind of what started the turnaround, Rory. So I think everyone should kind of thank me. Because the minute I stopped covering them, they got good again.
You know what, John? For how many years did you do the podcast for us? The Knicks podcast.
Oh, geez, that's a good question. I think probably about 5 years in that, like, 14 to 2019 area, somewhere in there. So I was, like, right in the middle of those Steve Mills, Phil Jackson glory era.
Yeah, it's funny because I just Googled you. I was like, Schmelk, what comes up if I Google John Schmelk and Knicks and WFAN? And I opened up to an article just for people to kind of build your credentials as long suffering. The first article that popped up that I clicked on here from you is entitled "Fizdale Needs to Make Better Case to Keep His Job."
Yep.
If that
about sums up my tenure covering the team.
I just thought that's perfect. Like, but that's what
that
we
is
were
perfect.
All,
that was perfect.
That's where we were. Like, John, that's where we all were. Like, we all lived in a world of Fizdale needs to make a case to keep his job. You were writing about it. You were, had a podcast about it. We all lived it. I was on the air either talking about what garbage it was or ignoring the Knicks. And yet here we are. And so for somebody who I know has loved this team, has covered this team, obviously you work now with the Giants, but what's your reaction? How did you feel last night when finally, after 53 years, the Knicks won a title?
You know, I mean, it was as special as you kind of thought it would be. At first, you just don't believe it.
Yep.
You know, I'm fortunate enough, all the teams that I've rooted for in my life have now won a title, and the Knicks were like the one team that I hadn't seen do it. And a big part of me really wasn't sure if I ever would see it, given how what an embarrassment the franchise has been over the past 20 years, until Leon Rose took over. And you sit there, you watch it, and you're just, look, we all have Knicks PTSD, right? And you're just waiting for Jeremy Soan to foul Wembanyama on that last three. It's a 4-point play in the game sent to overtime, right? Like, part of you was just waiting for something like that to happen. And when it doesn't, I watched the game with my brother, who's 10 years older than me. He's lived through all these, Knick nightmares just like I have. We also went to game four together at the Garden, sat there together, and, watched the greatest comeback in NBA Finals history. We basically sat there and sang karaoke in the building for 3 minutes after the game was over. It was great. And you know what the best part of it was? My daughter's 8 years old now, and she stayed up, watched the whole game, and she was part of it. I got to share this with her. She's obsessed with the Knicks, and she doesn't know how spoiled she is. She has no idea how spoiled she is. But to be able to kind of just do that with them, it was just the best thing ever. It was so much fun.
Yeah, you should make her watch some, like, Eddie Curry highlights or something like that, just to, understand, like, where what we were dealing with. You use the word, so that's what made it special, watching it with her. When you think about this Knicks team, what makes them special, or how will you remember or think about this Knicks team?
Because they're a team, Lori. I think that's first and foremost, right? I mean, the way it was built, they didn't tank for a high draft pick. They didn't trade a million things for a superstar. They didn't, save up Hank, shave all the money off their salary cap, go in free agency and sign Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, right? They got Jalen Brunson in free agency for a moderate contract that a lot of people thought was an overpay. They trade two draft picks for OG Anunoby. They trade Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo for Karl Anthony Towns. They get Deuce McBride on a late round draft pick. Landry Shamet's off the scrap heap. Mitchell Robinson was a second round pick. Just go down the list, and it's a very and then you have Mikal Bridges, who was kind of the last one where they traded the five picks for him, right? which now everyone thinks is a great deal, and rightfully so, because it helped them win a championship. And I think just the way this team was built is very unique. You don't see many teams in the league built this way. And then it comes down to Jalen Brunson, right? I mean, when you think of this team, you have to think of Jalen Brunson. Sure. Because you give him the ball in the fourth quarter and you just think you're going to win. And there's not many players in the NBA you can say that about. And he epitomizes everything you want from a captain, the work ethic. He's humble, the leadership, took less money to build around him, plays best in the biggest moments, a la Jeter, a la Eli, a la Mariano Rivera.
Yep.
And he's just one of the most skilled basketball players in the NBA. I mean, the only thing you would change about Jalen Brunson is to make him about 4 inches taller. Mm-hmm. That is the only thing you would change about Jalen Brunson. And I think those, to me, are the two things. Leon Rose, how he built it. By the way, then firing Tom Thibodeau to hire, Mike Brown, which was an extremely risky decision, but that paid off too.
Ballsy move. Yep.
Also, put all that together, you have the unlikely star who's a second-round pick. I saw this great stat today. Did you know the year he was drafted, he was the fourth Villanova player picked that year? I mean, Alonzo Spellman was picked ahead of him. Like, there is some crazy, crazy stuff when you look at it in terms of how the team was built, Brunson being special, Leon Rose the way he built them, and just their ability to work together as a team, everyone sacrificed, all the pieces fit together. That's what made this group special. And then just their playoff run. I mean, you look at the point differential, the record, all of that. This is one of the best playoff teams in the history of the National Basketball Association. And for that to happen to a team that just won 53 games, it's really unparalleled in the history of the league if you go back and you look at it. And it has just been, I mean, but before they lost to the Spurs in the final, Lori, the last time this team lost was on draft night.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like a year ago. And for this group that was during the year very inconsistent, and Pete fans were very frustrated with them, and rightfully so, for them to put this run together, man, it is one of the most special months and a half of basketball that any of us have ever seen.
Yeah, 13 wins in a row in the playoffs, and the point differential, the best in NBA history, not just in the playoffs, but regular season, playoffs, anytime, anywhere, best point differential, an incredible, incredible run. And you're right about Brunson. In a league of incredibly competitive, focused dudes, you have to be. I mean, you have to be such a competitive person to be as successful as to be a professional athlete, a professional basketball player, and succeed at that level. In a league of competitive dudes, he is a dude. He is the most clutch, focused, competitive dude in this league. And it is a superpower, because you don't get to be that at 6 feet tall and in a league of giants if you don't have that ability, and he just does.
I mean, I think if you ask this simple question, Lori, how many other players would you rather have on your team when you're trying to win a game in the fourth quarter? Maybe Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, who's won consecutive MVPs. Maybe Jokic, who won consecutive MVPs. Is the list longer than that? I mean,
no, and
Luka
after
Doncic,
this,
maybe.
I mean, and you're talking about the fourth quarter, but I think if we said to NBA fans and NBA media right now, you have one possession. Somebody has to take a shot. You have one possession. Who you putting the ball in their hands? And as great as, look, Jokic to me, I'm not debating, whether it's Jokic and Shea, whatever order you want to put it, the two best players, and even with Wemby right now. I mean, those are the three best, most talented all-around players in the league. But if you have to take one shot to win a game, win a playoff game, win an NBA title right now, is there anyone you're choosing over Jalen Brunson?
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think there should be. And I think if the Knicks can put together a dominant regular season next year where they win the East and they win 60 games, he's going to be a legitimate MVP candidate. You know, he wasn't this year, but he's only won 53, and I get that. But I think after you saw this playoff run, if the Knicks can put together a 60-win season next year, he's going to be up for MVP. I think Leon Rose will be up for Executive of the Year. Mike Brown will be up for Coach of the Year. And look, the way this team started playing in the postseason.
By the way, I said this earlier. I put OG Anunoby will be first team all defense. I said this. I posted this earlier with Knicks fans a few weeks ago who were disgruntled about where some of those things landed. And I just said, and you know, we see this in the NFL. It's like there's a lag between when a player performs and when he gets voted for awards. And the lag here was they need to do it in the postseason, in the playoffs. They did. They won the title. And now I think we will see Knicks players get those kinds of awards and voting next season. It's a lag.
Yeah. Yeah, look, absolutely. And I think it's also related to team success, right?
Yeah.
Once you see a team succeed because of what these players are doing, they're going to start to get that recognition, which is, I think, what a lot of players don't understand is that, you know, they try to get into situations and they focus on things that will improve their individual stats the most and they think the individual accolades will come from that. But really, where the individual accolades come from is the team winning. And that's when, you know, voters and for these awards and stuff like that start taking you more seriously when what you're doing is contributing to winning. And I think we're going to see that as the Knicks have won more games now, and we'll see what they do in the regular season next year, that as they win more consistently and have a better regular season record, these guys will get more recognition.
Yeah. All right. John Schmelk, hey, I'm glad that things have improved since the David Fizdale days. And the only thing I would dispute that you said earlier is when you mentioned that the way they built their team. Let's be honest, if Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving had wanted to come to the Knicks, they would have been welcomed with open arms.
Of course.
The Knicks couldn't get them, so they were forced into outstanding team building.
Hey, look, sometimes you need a little bit of luck. Sometimes it's about who doesn't come to your team, and that helps you too. You go back to those Yankee teams, they had a lot of luck. But yeah. Look, I think the bottom line is this, Lori, for Knicks fans that have sat through a lot of bad basketball,
a lot.
They earn this,
yep.
They deserve this, and Knicks fans of my age and those that were born in the mid to late 60s, the 70s, 80s, the 90s, whenever that day comes, and hopefully not for a long time, whenever we die, we can die happy knowing that we saw the Knicks win a title.
Amen to that, John. Appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Lori.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.